Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Peaky Blinders Season 5, Episode 3, Strategy, and Season 5, Episode 4, The Loop.
And it does feel like there's a loop involved here, doesn't it?
Never-ending.
We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, for sure. There will be spoilers, most likely. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having ginger ale.
Oh, I have something that looks like ginger ale. I am having the Peaky Blinders version of a champagne cocktail. It comes out of the Peaky Blinders cocktail book. Actually, in the physical book, this very same thing is called, I think, A Prince of Wales. So whatever. But it is a sugar cube with cognac on it and champagne over it and a little bit of Angostura bitters. And of course, because it is a champagne anything, it makes me happy. So yay. So let's get started with Peaky Blinders Season 5, Episode 3, Strategy.
Okay. At St. Hilda's Orphanage in Birmingham, which the Grace Shelby Institute donates to.
Who knew this was in the Vale? I'm sorry.
What?
Who knew this was in the Vale?
What do you mean?
Liza Aaron is the
mother. Oh, is that Liza Aaron? I didn't realize that. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't recognize Liza Aaron. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Polly and Tommy show up. They confront the nuns about the children being abused by them. They withdraw the funds and arrange for the children to be transferred to a different orphanage. Right. It's also Polly's birthday.
Well, no, let me back up just a little bit. Because this exchange, you know, there is a lot of threatening going back and forth. But one of the things I really like at the end of it, Polly, and part of what prompted it is that there were abuse, you know, chronic abuses of the children. But in particular, they abused a black child because of her race. They wouldn't let her use the same soap as the other children, and that child killed herself. Yep. And so both Tommy and Polly are really upset about it. But Polly, at the end, she's like, I'm going to wear high heels. You know, if you don't straighten out, I'm going to wear high heels and you're going to hear me coming and I'm going to stab you. So she's got like her knife to Liza Aaron's neck. And I'm like, I always wanted to have a knife to Liza Aaron's neck. That's a pretty cool thing. Instead of throwing her out the moon door. I mean, that's a possibility. But in any case.
Sure. It's Polly's birthday. They go to the shipyard. Tommy talks about how Younger was killed by Jimmy McCavern. Or not Younger. Shit, fuck me.
Yeah, not Younger.
Some other guy. The kid, Bonnie Gold, was killed by Jimmy McCavern. And they're going to London to...
What we have not been super clear on is Jimmy McCavern is the head of the Billy Boys. So just
yes. Anyway.
I'm gonna refer to him as Billy Boy going forward just because I can never remember his name.
McCavern. Tommy tells Polly to talk to Abraham Gold because he's in love with her and she can make him feel better. That was not really harped on before, but sure. The boys go to Tommy's office, and on the way Michael asks what the strategy is, and Tommy tells him you can smile and looks at Arthur and he says you don't smile, and they just to be like intimidating or whatever. Mosley comes in and knows all about the family. Apparently, according to his spies, Linda's been seen with another man, which makes Arthur really upset. He breaks a chair.
Mosley brushes it with his hand. It's wild.
Yeah, Mosley apparently made the investigation of the journalist's death go away. And Tommy has been invited to become a deputy leader of Mosley's new political party, the fascists. Yay. Okay. Then we go over to Linda, who's visiting Lizzie. And Linda has been talking to Quakers and tried to find a solicitor for a divorce. But as soon as she mentioned her name, they cried off. But Lizzie was also going to talk to a solicitor and found one who was willing to represent her. But she chose against it. For reasons. Linda was talking to one of her male friends who's a Quaker, who listens to her. But Lizzie says that you would basically be getting him killed if Arthur ever found out. And Paul
right. also talks about, you know, in every relationship and in the family, in the Shelby family, you get what you take. I mean, you don't expect things to be handed to you. You're going to have to actually, you know, assert yourself to get what you want. I'm sorry. Proceed.
It's fine. Polly visits Gold in the hospital. That's a very brief scene. Ada goes to take Gina, Michael's wife, to the doctor. But she's hesitant to go with her. And she's like, I don't listen to anybody. Like, Michael may be willing to, like, follow orders, but I'm not. And then, but Ada's basically taking the approach of, if that baby's dead in your belly, you're gonna want somebody next to you, and if it isn't, whatever, like, then you'll just deal with it, like, it's whatever. Colonel Younger is, I don't know why I said Younger earlier, I'm sorry, Younger is hanging out with Carl and talk about racism. Carl is racist. Carl says, and I quote, I don't want you to be my father because my dad's white and he's in heaven. Okay.
That's pretty horrifying.
No.
It is pretty horrifying. But
that's horrible.
Stuff that he's learned at school, apparently. It's
yeah.
Like, creepy.
Anyway, Polly takes Gold to a gypsy camp and he says he has one more killing to do before he's done and he plans to get revenge. He, like, gathers up, like, he tells this one lady to, like, gather up the, like, arm him and call these people who are nearby to help him out, and he wants revenge. So the boys go to Ada's house. Michael, Tommy, and Arthur go to Ada's house. And they talk to Younger about what's going on, but Younger doesn't really want to talk to anyone but Tommy. So Tommy kicks Michael out of the meeting, which upsets Michael. Michael says once the baby is born, him and Tommy are done.
Yeah. It turns out Tommy knows the colonel's supervisor, and that the supervisor is a polo buddy of Mosley's. And so Tommy basically tells the colonel, I want you to spy on Mosley. I'll help you. I want to spy on him. I want to get you the information so that it goes to the right people. You know, can you get this done? And Younger's like kind of, he's very reluctant because he knows that he's got a very specific mandate of things that he's supposed to do. And he just doesn't want to get involved, but eventually he's like, well, maybe I could do a little bit. And of course Tommy's like, yay. Then we get Bentley Cam, which is the conceit of this season. You get like a GoPro on the front of the Bentley so you can see the whole hood ornament, and you've seen it a couple times already, but it's like I'm starting to feel like it's overused.
It's not the only thing overused in this season, but we'll talk about it later.
Oh, there are many. So Tommy gets home, he goes to his office, and Johnny Dogs is having sex with a maid in the office. They talk about the fact that Abraham Gold has gone to Scotland and Polly took him there in her Bentley. We didn't get Bentley Cam for that. Abraham has relatives, and this is Tommy talking. He's telling Johnny, look, I don't care that you've got broken ribs and shit. You need to go and you need to handle this through the gypsy way. And so he explains that Abraham has got relatives near the Lothian border, and Johnny's like, they don't only use hand gestures to communicate. They don't speak the words. It's so funny coming from Johnny Dogs. He's just, the scene is just great for him. I love him anyway. We then see that Gina got a present for Polly. Polly, you know, touches Gina's stomach, and I think they never say it, but you get the impression that Gina's not actually pregnant.
Why do you get that impression, Mom?
I get that impression because of how Polly reacts. What she says is, like, I would love to hear that. I would love to have heard that heartbeat today. You know, that kind of thing. She's very kind of, and Gina pushes her away. Gina's like, well, my baby's going to be born in New York. And it's like,
I also don't really understand why, but here's my problem with your theory of that, or at this point, like, why Why would she lie about that? Like, just to get
She
Michael
was,
to marry her? She could have
yeah.
done that easily otherwise.
Well, you say
He's a
that.
pliable young man. She could easily have just made him like marry her regardless. It was not going to be an issue for her. I don't see why she would be like, oh, I'm also pregnant.
Yeah,
I don't really see that.
I think she used it to trap him. I also think that she's using it as a poor little woman thing. Like, she knows that family is very important to the Shelbys. And I think that she's using that to manipulate, the family and on some level as well.
Maybe.
So yeah, Tommy then talks to the communist girl. No, I'm not going to use her name. She
Oh,
wants.
also, sorry, Gina, because she's American, gives Polly a mini Statue of Liberty.
Oh, I forgot that part. That was stupid.
So
I
dumb.
wasn't even paying attention.
So dumb. Oh, we're just dumb Americans. We're manipulative bitches. Like, is that what you're trying to tell us? It's a lot like Downton Abbey, where it's just like, I'm American and it's 1920, time to live a little. It's just like, come on. Like, I mean, sure,
So
we're progressive in certain ways, but we are not sluts. Like, leave us alone. Well,
yeah.
not all of us are. Anyway, some of us are prudes. Leave us alone.
Yeah, some of us are Puritans, damn it.
Linda, go talk to your Quaker friends. Anyway, so yeah, but also, Gina mentions that Michael wants Polly to go with them to Long Island, and obviously that's not something Gina wants, but Gina's gonna have to get over it.
Maybe
Then
not. We'll see.
Tommy meets with Jesse Eden. I blocked all of this out, and then he has another.
Okay, wait, what he wants, she wants him to speak at a communist rally. Tommy says no because he has a strategy and that's not part of it. And then Tommy goes and sees the Grace Force Ghost.
Yeah, this I don't mind this idea of like having Grace haunt him in a way, but I don't understand why it's happening in this season. Like, I get maybe they could only like get her back for this season, but like if it would make so much more sense if this happened in season three, when he was getting high all the time and drinking himself into a stupor, and like just when he went off into the woods like Margaret and just decided, oh yeah, I'm gonna go see my dead wife. But no, it's opium that does it, or whatever he's taking, coke, I don't know, something,
I think
or just grief.
it's opium or heroin, which is a drug.
Something. Either way, yeah, he has another vision of Grace, who's just like, death is fun. And then he's like, okay. Anyway,
Join me.
Lizzie talks to Tommy about how she decided not to divorce him, and don't I deserve a little bit of praise for that? It's like, no. And then she
They
makes the
talk
deal
about, hey,
with him.
it's always been sex for money, so I consider that to be the price of what we're doing for me to stay in the family.
Yeah, she makes a deal with him not to screw anyone else in the house and open up a bit, and he says
He's
she
not gonna.
belongs.
He doesn't screw anyone else in the house. It's not about her. She's not gonna screw anybody else.
Yeah, she makes a deal with him not to screw anyone else in the house. That's what I said. But and open up a bit, and he says that she belongs to him and is his property. And and no one is going to touch his property. Great. You wanted to get out of the prostitute business, Lizzie. Congratulations. You became another man's property even more. Anyway, Arthur calls Tommy. Arthur wants to be on the same page as Tommy about Linda and the information about her. Tommy tells him about the friend, but he also says nothing happened. Arthur says he'll talk to the friend and then go north for the business aspect. They're going to Glasgow to find Aberyma Gold. And so Arthur finds the friend, and
Find a friend. No, I don't think so.
he finds the friend and beats him up. Arthur talks, then after that, Arthur talks to Uncle Charlie about the plan for him and Johnny to go to Glasgow to find Aberyma Gold. And then the Billy Boys get stopped on the road in Glasgow, like doing border patrol or whatever, because they're a gang and that's what they do. And they are going to commandeer a tar truck that are trying to pave the roads or something. And surprise, surprise, Aberyma Gold is there. And
Yeah.
him and the men who were working on the road, they
attack. This is a really good ambush, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They attack the Billy Boys, very Inigo Montoya, because, like, what Abraham Gold says is, like, you nailed him to a cross. You da, 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 da. You killed my father. Prepare to die. They didn't kill his father, but they did kill his son, and he is reminding them of that every second of every day. But he warns the men of the man who he's about to hurt about his plan for killing McCabber, how he has, like, a bullet with his name on it, and pours hot tar on one of them. But he lives. The guy lives, but he's going badly burned. And then Tommy meets with Mosley for a shooting thing. Mosley met with Mussolini, apparently, and the fascist party will be...
And he likes him.
Of course he does. He's a creep. Yeah. And the fascist party will be created by 1930. The 30s will be our years. And I'm like, yikes. Tommy tells him he has conditions, but Mosley's like, that's not the kind of relationship we have. And it's like, oh, great.
And I'm the top.
But Tommy calls...
No. Sorry, go ahead.
Tommy calls Younger and makes sure his position as informant is recorded, and that it's going to make he makes sure that he's not doing this for nothing, right. or to make it seem like he's betraying the crown in any way. The Billy Boys, they obviously the guy who got tar poured on him is fine. He's badly burned, but he's fine, and he informed them of the threat, and they're on high alert and they're going for gold, and Arthur finds gold first, and he tells him that they need to leave immediately, and he's not as well hidden as he'd like to be. And then Arthur rigged a grenade to blow up the camp after they left, so a couple of the Billy Boys get hurt or killed.
Yeah, again, the ambushes in this are really pretty excellent. Yeah, I really like the way it's done.
And then McCavern declares war on Tommy.
Yep. Yes. Okay. So the
that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. What were your best parts?
The only one I wrote down was Tommy and Polly standing up for abused children. I mean, I guess I like the ambushes in this episode a bit. Like, it shows a preparedness that I haven't seen in a while. So, sure, ambushes as well. But that's all I can really think of. I don't think anybody really stands out to me in this episode, if I'm being honest. Because they all do something that I don't really like. Like, I can't put Tommy, because Tommy's like, you're my property. It's like, no. I don't like that. And also, he is... I can't really put anybody.
Right, I didn't put any people. I what I like about this episode is, you know, the fight with the Billy Boys. This, you know, it's a good subplot to me. You know, these are people that Mosley is using. They are, as described, Protestant, and but you know they're street level, not you know, but out of Scotland. They are like, you know, anti many things, including people like Abraham Gold and the Peaky Blinders and so on and so forth. And you know, that I like them as antagonists. I like the fight with them. I like how they go about retaliating against the Billy Boys. I think it's really good. I like Tommy realizing, like, oh my God, I've got to take this Mosley guy down. He's really, really, really bad, and I need to do something about it. So I like that kind of that level of awareness from him, and the fact that he is applying this complex strategy brain that he has to this issue. So I really like both of those things. What were your worst parts?
Mosley, Gina, Carl, Arthur hurting the friend, and McCavern.
Yeah, I've got Carl being a racist. Mm-hmm. Michael and Gina, I hate both of them.
Yeah. And Michael, too. He's being a whiny little bitch.
Yeah, I really don't like Arthur beating the crap out of that guy, not okay. And I don't like Lizzie being a hoe because I just don't like Lizzie.
Yeah,
Because
Lizzie being like, "Don't I get a reward for not divorcing you?" It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
you know, that's not actually how it works. So yeah, what grade did you give this episode?
B minus.
I did too. Interesting. So how about episode four?
The loop. I usually do the episode introduction, so you threw me off at the beginning of this episode.
Throw
So
off your rhythm. I'm sorry.
season five, episode four, The Loop. Tommy dreams of Grace again. Surprise. Tommy meets with McCavern, and they discuss like some kind of truce for a business deal. Finn and Arthur meet with the football guy Billy, who's not a Billy boy, he's just Billy, and about the progress. This one storyline, it does have a payoff in a way, but it is so boring and it is so unnecessary to me. Like, it could, yeah, I think it's just boring, this whole football thing. I don't care. The guy wants his family safe, as anyone does, and Arthur's like, yeah, no, you can keep your family safe as long as you do what you're fucking told. And then Tommy talks to a woman about her husband killing her birds. Okay. Finn, meanwhile, Tommy's in his office while Finn is back at the bedding den, and he got a new prostitute because that's what Finn does now, and she happens to be Chinese. Arthur, back at Tommy's office, it kind of cuts back and forth. Arthur is going to buy her the lady new birds or whatever, because that's his lot in life now. And a Chinese guy, William Chang, wants to meet with them. The prostitute then holds a gun to Finn's head, and Finn calls Tommy and Arthur to raise the stakes of the discussion with Chang. They hear a gunshot, but she just fired into the ceiling, so what was the point? Anyway, Chang wants their help to deal opium, and Finn then he like has this great deal of like, you're gonna get 250,000 pounds if you just hold that, like, store them for a week, and then we'll send them through to either London, or they're coming from London or something. And so,
They're coming from London. So a part of the logistics of it, Tommy already knows that this shipment has come into London, and it's being detained, I guess, by like whatever their customs enforcement is. And he knows that there's a whole bunch of it. He knows what the value of it is. He gets from the Chinese, from Mr. Chang, he gets from him that it is has all this purity and what the street value would be if it's sold in certain circles.
Yeah. And Finn comes charging in angrily, but the bros stop him from doing dumb shit. And then there's a feminist montage for Polly to meet with the boys, where she steps in shit and then takes off her shoes, and that's disgusting. They talk about transporting the opium and storing it after it comes from London for 250,000. Tommy will reinstate Michael and put him in charge of the project. Arthur votes against it, but Polly makes the votes for it, making it a majority vote for in favor. The man Arthur talks to Polly. The man Arthur cut went to the cops, but Polly dealt with it. Polly tells him that to let Linda go, but he's like, I can't. I love my awful wife. It's
Yeah,
like,
but we're all gonna
okay.
let Linda go. Polly's right. Yeah.
Tommy meets with Gold, and says the war is postponed with the Billy Boys until after the business is done. But after it's done, you can avenge your son then. And he's like, hey, if you wait, you can marry Polly. And he's just like, you're making Polly part of the deal without her knowledge. Like, what the hell? And
But Tom
then,
says he has her permission.
well, no, yeah, I know. It's just funny. And then he invites Gold to an event, Swan Lake, at his house to propose to Polly. And Polly's well aware, and she's made it this way so that she could have a more romantic proposal. And
I do
Gold.
love this discussion where they talk about how What's this, the ballet? It's like, yeah, it's supposed to be about love. It's like, yeah, I'm not into that. It's just like such a guy discussion about Swan Lake. It's very funny.
It's very funny, yeah.
There's no goose lamp, though.
No. Gold agrees to the deal. No goose lamp, no. Tommy meets with Mosley, who has been invited to the ballet event for Lizzie's birthday. They talk about Lizzie's background and how he might have used her services before and how he could use them again. It's like, no.
Yeah, Tommy just stares at him. It is so remarkable. Yeah, and this is one of those juxtapositions you really like. Like, if this conversation, if say Arthur were the person that Mosley was talking to, not that that would ever happen, he'd be dead. I mean,
Yeah,
Mosley
that's
would
true.
just be fucking dead.
Because Arthur doesn't have any like a brain for tactics in any way.
Yeah, he doesn't have a filter. All he is emotions. Like, nope, dead.
Anyway, apparently Mosley is screwing his wife, her his wife's younger sister, and her mother. Great.
Literally.
Another Grace hallucination blaming him for her death. Woo! It's like this happened years ago. Like it happened so long ago. Not to say that you can't still be grieving your dead wife. That is totally valid. However, why is it happening now?
Because
I
they
don't
have a cat
understand.
on the payroll. That's all I can figure. I thought about doing a Grace Shelby cocktail for one of these episodes, and I've not committed one way or another. I don't know that I will, but
And
what?
again, I don't think it's a bad idea because I think that of anybody, like Tommy still loves Grace and her memory and all of that stuff. Like he's still in love with her, and that's why he can't really open up to Lizzie. He could barely open up to Grace, but at least he could try a little bit. But Grace kind of pushed through the bullshit, whereas Lizzie's trying to, but failing. But either way, I think that it's odd that they chose to do it now of all times, but like again, not my choice. Either way, Tommy thinks about jumping off a bridge, but doesn't. He goes to Ada's house and gives information.
You've left out one of the things that I think keeps coming up in this is that
Grace
they
is breathing.
no, well, although
Oh.
funny, no, they frame it like he's Batman. He's standing on this like promontory and he's watching, Grace's ghost pass beneath him on a boat and shit, and it's like fucking weird.
No, the Grace is breathing will come back and I will mention it. But I'll talk about it later. It comes up more later. He goes to Ada's house and gives information about Mosley to Younger. He tells Ada about the bridge and seeing Grace, and he's been taking laudanum. He didn't see the therapist she recommended. Ada wants him to throw the opium away, but he's like, nah, I'm good. Polly gives Michael the invitation to the ballet and the chance to come back into the company. She also tells him about the opium deal and how much that they could make. She tries to show him through Cole that Gina will want more money. She's like, she won't like your hands dirty. It's like, okay.
Yeah,
A bit on the
she
nose,
uses
but
actual
sure.
lumps of coal. When you say
Yeah.
coal, it's not a person. It is she uses actual lumps of coal. It's like, oh, she'll never get her hands dirty. It's like Michael doesn't want to get his hands dirty either. He's just
No, he's a little bitch. And
and
then
he doesn't know how to do it either. He's a fucking pussy.
Tommy talks to the Billy Boys about the plan for the coal, and they're like, great, that sounds like a good plan. But he also plans to skim the opium a little bit because he's addicted at this point. And they're just like, you're trying to skim the opium? And he's like, yeah, don't say anything about it. Anyway, Michael tells Gina about the offer. She's disappointed that they'll have to primarily live in England instead of New York. But Gina also talks about Tommy being out of the way and him and Michael being like the head of the company one day and how much money he could make from that. And Polly, this is at the birthday party, by the way. Polly tells Mosley about what they're offering for the night, like women, drugs, drink, and
Opium, cocaine, brandy. The maids are all people we hired specially, but you,
they have
no
name
ballerinas.
tags.
No ballerinas.
No ballerinas.
And she's like, oh, so also, I'm not on offer.
Tommy is screwing Lizzie, and he's just like, they can wait. It's like, okay. And then he tells Lizzie about Mosley, and she seems to remember that night kind of, but she needs to see his face to be like, to really confirm that she has met this guy before.
She also that, oh, so you're marking your territory, basically.
Yeah, and she's like, I don't mind it, but whatever. And he's just like, if he fucking touches you, he's dead. And it's like, okay. Anyway, Mosley is in like one of the living rooms or something, and he's mad at Tommy for leaving him hanging with all these people because he's a
It's not
purist who is
correct.
awful and doesn't want to talk to anybody who's below him in any way.
It's also because the societal norms that he thinks that they're trying to, like,
Like
the
brandy before dinner. Ooh, oh
yeah, it's like
no.
we're trying to make Britain great again or something, and so he wants to, like, get back to all of these societal constructs that he thinks are so important, and those include you greet your guests and you do this and you do that, and it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, Tommy wants him to sign the check from a cavern for his cut of the deal, but he doesn't want it used against him, but he does it anyway, to as a sign of trust. Lizzie is talking to Polly, and when Mosley comes in, she's like, "Fuck, I did screw him that one time." And Mosley comes up, and he's just like, "Oh, we've met before." And she's just like, "Yeah, no, you couldn't. You fell asleep and couldn't get it up." And she's, and it's like, "Whoa, okay, interesting." Anyway, they watch the ballet. It's a beautiful set too. It's like a tent with a lot of beautiful lights and a cute little stage. I don't think there would be enough room for a full ballet, but it's a obviously like a t tampered down a little bit, but.
So one of the things that happens in this season, and it is very pronounced in this sequence, but we've mentioned costumes and stuff in the past, and there are good costumes this season, but they've set a bar that you're kind of like, well, of course there are. But the set dressers, it's like, holy crap, how did they put this together in that time period? I don't know how you would be able to construct a set like this for Swan Lake at that time of day, all that stuff with the lighting and everything else. It's remarkable how they make it look plausible. And I think they do a really, really great job of just making it very romantic and beautiful look.
Yeah, so while they're watching, Gold gets Polly's attention, and
He
he,
throws a rock at her.
yeah. So they're scrappy. It's what makes them cute. And Gold gets her attention, and they wander off. Meanwhile, and he proposes to Polly, which is very sweet. And I noticed they didn't really use too much Swan Lake music, which disappointed me. They did eventually, but it took a minute. Either way, a car pulls up, and Tommy gets Arthur to go investigate. And meanwhile,
Because
Polly.
Arthur had fallen asleep. He was snoring audibly.
Shame on him. But meanwhile, Polly says to Gold, "Let's fuck before the swan dies." That's really funny. That's really funny.
This whole sequence is just great and is quintessential Peaky Blinders to
And
me.
I was like, okay, Polly. Anyway, surprise, it's Linda with a gun. And she's mad that her friend has no face anymore. And Paul then she has the gun pointed at Arthur, and she like is upset with him, and she's about to pull the trigger when she gets shot, actually, and it turns out it was Polly who shot her, who she had a gun on her while she was about to fuck her now fiance, I guess.
Well,
I mean,
Polly,
go off, Polly, I guess.
that's foreplay for Polly. If you haven't figured
A
it out
gun?
already,
A
yeah,
gun?
Linda's threatening people. That's kind of a thing for her.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode.
That's the episode. What were your best parts?
Ada for taking care of Tommy. She's so patient. Swan Lake. I like Swan Lake. It's like I like The Wizard of Oz, but I really like Swan Lake in general, and it's used somewhat often, sometimes in media, just because the music's so beautiful and expressive. And like it was used in The Crown. It's used in this. I mean, it's really nice that it's used, and it's like it's a good like thing to compare things to. Like, if something dramatic is happening here, you can easily like make that a swan lake moment. Everyone should make it a swan lake moment. Either way, but also that line, let's fuck
What I
before the
have.
swan dies, kills me. That's so funny. Anyway, and Paul, the costumes are beautiful, and Polly. I like Polly saying that. That was really funny.
I do like Polly in this episode. I didn't write that specifically. I think mine are my things about this episode are more structural. Obviously, I've already mentioned the set dressing, which I just feel like they did an amazing job with the sets and the lighting and everything else. And kudos to all of the people that work on the show all the time. I've loved how orchestrated and well edited the different aspects of what's happening during the dying swan scene are put together in this episode. It's really beautifully done. It's well synced with the music. I feel like because there are at least three or four storylines going on at the same time, and they do a really great job intercutting those. And of course, you got the dancers and the costumes and the everything else. I feel like it's really beautiful. I like the fact that Tommy actually has a plan. Like he has, he's going to be luring Mosley in when Mosley thinks he's luring Tommy in, and so he has a plan. He's very anxious because he cares about whether he cares about this one in a way that he doesn't always care about other plans he's had, and that's going to come up in later episodes. But I like the fact that we're seeing, those machinations. I think that's one of the great things about Peaky Blinders in general. What were your worst parts?
My worst parts are too much going on. Like, I mean, there are sometimes where it just like that again, the football thing really grinds my gears because it's just like I know it will pay off eventually, but in a really dumb way that could have been done some other way. But and I don't know. I
No
think that's when I wrote
conservation,
that down.
no conservation of storyline. Is that what you're concerned about?
We just have a lot going on in this season of like we have Michael's bullshit. We have a lot of like we have the Billy Boys. We have Tommy dealing with fascists and like we have a lot going on as it is. We also have Arthur and Linda's bullshit. Like, I mean, we have a lot going on. And not to say that you can't have multiple storylines going on at once. Obviously, that's a TV show for you, but I don't know. It feels a little bit muddled when and maybe I just don't care about Finn. Maybe that's it, because they didn't make me care
Because
about
a
Finn.
lot of what happens in that subplot involves Finn.
Yeah, I don't really care about Finn, and they never made me care about Finn. And Finn acting so fucking cocky and stupid makes me annoyed. But anyway, and then Mosley is awful, and Linda's stupid, and like I just whatever. Those are my worst parts that I could think of.
My worst part is Mosley, because he is such a dick. He does it incredibly well.
Oh, the
He
actor's fantastic. We already
great.
established that.
He does it incredibly well, but I just despise everything that he stands for with this. I don't like Tommy laying claim to Lizzie, partly because I don't like Lizzie. I don't like Linda, because
Yeah, I think maybe the reason we don't like that so much is because, well, maybe the reason I don't like that so much is because it's showing a different side of Tommy that could actually care about Lizzie. And I don't think he doesn't care. I just think that he doesn't care as much as she wants him to. And I think this is giving her a different impression. But then again, she did threaten to divorce him. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
True. I the Polly never am a gold thing. I like, the conversations, but the whole like bartering her for set, the whole thing is weird. And Michael and Gina, I just can't stand
Oh
them.
yeah, Michael and Gina. I'm sorry. I completely forgot them because they're so irrelevant.
Because I love
But
them. So what grade did you give this episode?
B.
I gave it an A minus. And I gave it an A minus in part because it's a very memorable episode.
The end is memorable, Mom, but not the whole thing.
Well, okay. But I do think it's pretty decently structured as an episode. There's not a part of this that I'm like, oh, let's not do that.
Maybe I'll put it up to a B plus just for Swan Lake, but I don't think it's much better than that, in my opinion.
Really good episode. But I know that we have two more episodes in this season. And we are looking forward to discussing those and sharing that with you. And we hope that you join us. And
cheers.